Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to talk to you about a great way to make some money: driving with Uber. Now, if you use the Uber app to get around town, you know how it works. Well, driving with Uber is just as easy and just as great. Here are some reasons people love driving with Uber. For one thing, you drive when you want. You need something out the typical 9-to-5 day job? Well, as an independent contractor with Uber, you have the freedom and flexibility to drive whenever you want, whenever you have time, whenever you can work. You set your own schedule, and you can be there. You can be at work when you need to be at work, when you want to be at work. But the important thing, you can also be at home when you need to be at home, or be at school when you need to be at school. Whatever you need to do, you can work it around your schedule. You can make good money. You got a car? Turn it into a money machine. Look, the city's buzzing. People got to get around all the time. Uber makes it easy for you to cash in on the action. Plus, you've already got a car, or you already got a license. You can start driving. You can start getting paid. There's no office. There's no boss. There's no, I have to be at work from this time to this time, or from that time to that. Oh, man, I'm in the middle of watching the game, and I got to go to work. No, you're driving with Uber. You're your own boss. You don't have to report to anybody. You don't have to go to an office. Listen, Uber gives you the freedom to get behind the wheel when it makes sense for you. Choose when you drive, where you go, who you pick up. It all works through the app. So, what are you waiting for? You have a car, you have a license, put them both to good use and start making money today. You can make thousands of dollars in fares your first month driving with Uber. Sign up today. Go to Drive with Uber. Okay, that's drivewithuber.com. drivewithuber.com. Get started. drivewithuber.com. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 116 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, there's a few things I want to get to this week that are not good, but I'm going to start off with something great, and I'm sure you've heard this by now. I just want to give a shout out, another shout out to the three American heroes who thwarted the terrorists or foiled a terrorist plot. Remember foiling plots back when George W. Bush was president? These guys actually did foil a plot. Anthony Sadler, Spencer Stone, and Alex Scarlatos received the Legion of Honor from France, and they've received other accolades and so on. And what they did was they tackled and stopped a terrorist on a high-speed French train. He was Ayub El-Khazani. He had an AK-47, a Luger pistol, and a box cutter. And they tackled this guy, and they brought him down, and it was brilliant. Okay, there were a couple other people involved. Mark Mulligan was a French-American academic who was on a train. He's recovering from a gunshot wound from when he tried to tackle a gunman. The gunman shot him with a Luger. And there was Chris Norman, a British passenger, who also helped tackle the guy. But these guys, they saved the train. They saved the train from whatever terrorist action this guy may have tried, whether it be taking hostages or shooting and murdering people. Whatever his plan was, they brought it to an end. And here's a little message to the NRA. You know what it takes to stop a bad guy with a gun? Courageous guys. That's who it was. Courageous guys. Not about a good guy with a gun. Not about adding more guns. Just courageous guys. So a shout out to them. And also, thank you guys for reminding the world about the greatest things about the United States of America and what we can do and what we have done for the world so many times. Because, boy, we sure get enough bad press. Not that we don't earn it, but it's nice to see some good press. So good for these guys, good for the United States of America, and a shout out and a thank you from me and my podcast. Okay, this just happened today. It's a horrible story. I'm sure you've heard about it. There is Vester Flanagan was a reporter for WDBJ, a TV station in Virginia. And on air, he shot and killed two reporters. He shot Allison Parker and photographer Adam Ward. And, you know, I mean, this is horrible for a million reasons. Most of all, for two innocent people getting shot and killed because another crazy guy with a gun had an agenda and wanted to, I don't even know what he wanted. Did he want to right a perceived wrong, or, you know, there's talk about he felt the station was racist against him and on. I'm not even going to go into trying to figure out the mind of this killer or providing any more publicity. But this is the, and this is just my opinion, as you know, it's my podcast, it's my opinion. The worst thing about this is now that's the new bar, okay? That's going to be the new bar in these crazed shootings, to kill someone live on television, you know, because that's one of the reasons they do it. They do it for the publicity. They do it for the notoriety. Now, this guy, you know, the cops came after him and he shot himself and he died. But none of that doesn't matter. You know, again, the lives lost, the two innocent people, young people engaged, starting life, working for a small news station. Who knows? I'm sure aspirations of being bigger in the news media, or maybe having a family, or whatever they wanted to do, whatever their dreams were, they're gone. Their dreams are gone because this guy he murdered him. That's what he did. He murdered him. And we're going to have analysis. We're going to have talking heads. We're going to be figuring it out. People are going to try. I believe people are going to try to throw in a racial element because this guy Flanagan was black and the two reporters he shot were white, and he claimed some racism at the station, and you know, there'll be that twist on it, and there'll be the crazy NRA twist that says, well, reporters should be carrying guns. If the reporters and photographers carried guns, this wouldn't happen. We know we're going to hear that, but the bottom line, my personal opinion, bottom line is going to be, this sadly will be another bar. Someone else is going to try to do this. They're going to try to kill somebody on live TV. And it's insane. There's no other word for it. It's absolutely insane. And we've got other insanity going on regarding these shootings and mass killings in Boston, on their way to Boston. Two guys were going to shoot up the Pokemon World Championship. No, I didn't know there was a Pokemon World Championship either, but apparently there is. And these two psychopaths thought of it as a reason to go on a massacre run. So James Stumbo and Kevin Norton of Iowa were arrested. Police searched the car, found a shotgun, an AR-15, a hunting knife, 250 rounds of ammunition. They were charged, this is interesting to me, they were charged with unlawful possession of firearms and unlawful possession of ammunition. I'm not a lawyer. Yeah, you imagine that? I know you didn't know that. You thought I was a comedian and a lawyer in my spare time. No, I'm not a lawyer. But it seems to me these two guys, now, and you talk about dumb criminals, but they made threats on Facebook, you know, in Facebook groups, talking about going to the tournament, to the Pokemon tournament. One quote that they wrote was, "My AR-15 says you lose." They were in part of the Mayhem Pokemon crew. Good luck with killing the competition. These are the kind of things that they wrote. They even apparently put a picture of their car and the guns. And I don't understand how they're not charged with more than possession of firearms. I don't know how they're not charged with some kind of conspiracy or threat to commit terrorism or whatever. But thank God that the people on Facebook who saw this took it seriously, you know, reported it, and it was stopped before it happened. So we're not reporting another mass killing at a Pokemon tournament. And also, while I'm on the topic, and isn't it a shame how much time I'm spending on the topic of mass shootings, but the Colorado theater shooter, okay, James Holmes, has been threatened to 3,318 years. And, you know, life. He's doing life in prison. He'll never get out, which is good. Now, here's the something I read that I found interesting. It's an article from the LA Times about why the United States is number one in mass shootings. Isn't that, just stop and think about that for a minute. How crazy is that? That article had to be written, that, you know, we're number one in mass shootings. And you know something? Number two isn't anywhere close to us. We are number one with a bullet, pardon the pun. We have 5%, and I'm just reading statistics from the article, 5% of the global population, but 31% of the world's mass shooters since 1966. And a comprehensive analysis of the motives and their actions and why, some of the factors involved. Americans, there's a widespread gap between Americans' expectations for themselves and their actual achievement. American adulation of fame. We want to be famous. Sorry about that. That was a landline. Remember those? Yeah, I use it for radio interviews. Anyway, sorry about that. And American exceptionalism, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you want to know why we have the most shootings? Because we have the most guns. America, the United States of America, ranked first in per capita gun ownership. A 2007 survey showed 270 million firearms in U.S. civilian households. That's an ownership rate of 88 guns per 100 households. Basically, 88% of America, there are enough guns out there that 88% of Americans could be armed. You know who's second? Yemen. Think about that. Yemen, the terrorist capital of the world, right? Where all these terrorism schools and all these suicide bombers and psychos come from. Yeah, their gun ownership, only 54.8 firearms per 100 people. And this study was done, okay, by the American Sociological Association, Adam Lankford, University of Alabama criminologist Adam Lankford set out to do this study, okay, and the paper was being presented at the American Sociological Association's annual meeting in Chicago. Interesting place to have a meeting about mass killings and about guns in Chicago. And there were all these things about, you know, people wanting to be famous and dissatisfied with their lives and, you know, expectation versus actuality and so on and so forth. But after all is said and done, they said the reason for all these shootings is because there are so many guns, okay? The association between national firearm rates and number of mass shooters per country showed clear statistical significance. You know, we have a lot of guns. Guns are easy to get. People use them for mass shootings. And they do it because they want to be famous. And that is, that sums it up. And what's the solution? I don't know. But I'll tell you what isn't the solution. More guns. The solution to shootings in movie theaters isn't more guns in movie theaters. The solution to shootings in schools isn't more guns in schools. And I'm not just talking out of my ass here. This has been proven statistically over and over and over. Places that have had more guns haven't had less shootings. Places where guns are easier to get haven't had fewer shootings. More guns equal more shootings. And until we accept that simple fact and work from there, nothing's going to be done. Am I saying we should ban guns? No, I'm not saying we should ban guns. Should there be some more regulation, some common sense, some training involved? Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We do it with cars. You have to train to get one. You have to have a license. You have to have insurance in case something goes wrong. You register that you own the car. When you sell the car, you register, you know, you pass on the registration and list who you sold it to so that they take over liability for the vehicle and so on and so forth. And it's not the end of the world. And it wouldn't be the end of the world to do the same thing with guns. But we seem to think either it's all or nothing, and therefore nothing changes. And we keep having these cases of shooting. The latest, of course, being murdered on morning TV. And again, I'm sad to say it, but it's true. You know as well as I do, this won't be the last one. This will start a new trend. Son of a bitch. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm going to get away from that. I'm going to go into, what's the Donald been up to? I know it's been a week. He had to have been up to something. Well, apparently the Donald is telling the truth. He does not like Latinos. And that is why he had Jorge Ramos, a reporter from Univision or Univision, and that's probably not Spanish, but it's enough to bother the Donald, had him ejected from his press conference because this Latin reporter wanted to ask the Donald about his comments regarding immigration. So, you know, you want to ask the Donald questions the Donald ain't ready for? Donald will have you bounced. And why? Because he said, you didn't raise your hand. You didn't wait your turn. I think we've seen these press conferences where the reporters just yell questions and then they pick which one they want to answer. Never seen anyone bounce. But, you know, that's the Donald. He should have Univision build a wall around Jorge Ramos, right? I mean, that's what the plan is for Mexico, have Mexico build a wall. So maybe he should have him do it maybe he should have Univision build a wall around Ramos. You can build a portable wall, can't you? Jeez. Megyn Kelly came back to work. Megyn Kelly returned from her vacation, and right away, the Donald was on Twitter talking about, I like the Kelly file much better without Megyn Kelly, and the bimbo's back in town, and so on. You know something? I hate when you click on a page and they just start playing a video that you don't want to see.
Will deliberate.
That's what keeps happening. Megyn Kelly, to her credit, all she did was post some of the things Donald wrote about immigration, and it just shows, you know, how silly he is. But he's attacking her, and you know, it's interesting. Whenever a conservative attacks someone on Fox News, or whenever Fox News attacks a conservative, I just always get that. It always reminds me of that moment in Planet of the Apes movie. When they talk about ape has killed ape and how horrible that is. So I'm not calling Donald Trump an ape. I'm not calling Megyn Kelly an ape. I'm just talking about conservative has turned on conservative. Wasn't that like the 11th commandment from Reagan? Thou shalt not speak ill of other conservatives. Well, apparently they forgot and they're at it again. So that's what the Donald's been up to. What else do we have going on in the election? And it's just getting fun. This one, I'm kind of enjoying this one. So you know who's big in South Carolina? Among the evangelicals who don't like Donald Trump because Donald Trump is a lot of things, but he's not religious. Ben Carson. Yeah, Ben Carson. Ben Carson is big down there. Trump leads the field in South Carolina with 30%, but Carson's in second with 15%, and no other candidate is in the double digits. Yeah, because that's going to happen. Ben Carson, a black Republican, is going to win South Carolina. You remember South Carolina. They just lowered the Confederate flag last month. Yeah, they're going to go for the black guy. Good luck with that, Ben. I don't even know what's going on. This is so ridiculous, so comical. You know, yeah, he has supporters. And again, they say the right thing that Ben Carson is smart, and there's no doubt of that. The man's a neurosurgeon. He's done amazing things. And they said that, you know, Ben Carson is humble, whereas Donald Trump is loud and boisterous and insulting and everything that they don't want him to be. Well, I don't think that. I don't think he's everything they don't want to be. I think he's exactly who they want to be. But Ben Carson, the brother's going to carry South Carolina? I don't think so. What's going on the Democrat side? What the hell are they up to? Well, Joe Biden's making an appearance, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, Joe said he might run. Apparently, he's had a secret meeting with Elizabeth Warren. And it's one of those things. And I swear, we live in a tabloid election cycle. I don't even know how to describe what American politics are. Is it a reality show or is it a tabloid? I don't even know what it is. But supposedly, Joe Biden had a secret meeting with Elizabeth Warren, but the meeting wasn't really secret. They wanted to leak it to see if people would get excited about a Biden-Warren ticket. And then Joe's going to go. Is Joe going to run? We don't know if Joe's going to run. Then if Joe runs against Hillary, who does Barack Obama support? Who does he really support? Who does he support politically? Remember, he owes the Clintons. Bill was a big help in 2012. Also, Hillary apparently has a 40-point lead over anybody else, and they're saying it would be like ridiculous for Barack Obama to support somebody who's way behind, which would be Biden. Listen, all I'm hearing is one more time, the Democrats are working on losing from the front. I've said it before and I've said it again. No one loses an election from the front better than a Democrat. Don't take my word for it. Ask Al Gore. Okay, you have heard me over and over talk about ESPN and how bad it's gotten over there and how unwatchable it's become. So their latest problem, Kurt Schilling. Kurt Schilling posted a thing on Twitter comparing Muslims to Nazis. And this isn't the first time he's done this. He's got things on his Facebook page, you know, a quote of the Bible versus a quote of the Quran. He's had the anti-Obama stuff on there, blah, blah, blah. And now they're saying, okay, now he went too far, you know, and Kurt said it was a bad decision and he took it down, blah, blah, blah. ESPN, this ain't the first time. You hired Rush Limbaugh. Remember when they did that? Remember they hired Rush Limbaugh for like the Sunday football show or Sunday night football or something like that. And then he went off and did the thing about the black quarterbacks and talking about, I'm seeing his face and blanking on his name, Philadelphia quarterback. But anyway, the point being that, how could I forget? Oh, man, I'm killing myself over forgetting the name. How do I forget the name of the quarterback? I'm sorry. Ben Carson is in my mind. Ben Carson is the number one brother on my head right now. I can't get over Ben Carson is going to be carrying South Carolina. But anyway, Rush Limbaugh had the thing about black quarterbacks get an unfair advantage in the sports press, and then they had to get rid of him. And now Kurt Schilling is comparing Muslims to Nazis, and now they're going to... And they're not getting rid of Kurt. They're just taking Kurt off of Little League Baseball because they said maybe that's not best for Little League. I don't think Little League Baseball should be on ESPN. I think that's bad for the kids. But, you know, to have your resident Muslim hater announcing the games, yeah, that's probably even worse. And this is not new. Kurt Schilling, one of these right-wing guys, you can follow his, check his Facebook page. It's sort of textbook right-wing, anti-Obama, pro-Christianity, and I say that in quotes because it's not real. Christianity is in helping people, and Jesus loves the least of us, and humility, and so on. It's Christianity as in this is a business to keep old white men in power. You know, they knew who they had. They knew who they hired, and now they're going to maybe suspend him or this or something like that. I don't even know what they're going to do, but ESPN, again, just... Horrible. So this is a sports story that I got to admit, I find kind of funny because the man is just being honest. He might be in trouble too. He hasn't been suspended yet, but we're going to see what happens. Chris Carter. Okay. Chris Carter was a wide receiver in the NFL. He's a Hall of Famer. And Chris Carter said that basically, if you're talking to the rookies, talking to the preseason, they have these pros talk to the rookies, they give them advice, this and that. He said that you should have a fall guy in your posse. Yeah, he said... I'm sorry about laughing, but as bad as it sounds, it's not bad advice. He said, look, you're paying these guys. They're using your money to hang around. So you might as well just, you know, you might as well have one of them ready to take the fall. Oh, by the way, the Philly quarterback I was talking about was Donovan McNabb. Please forgive me. And Donovan works for Fox, so I should be watching him because I should start watching Fox Sports instead of ESPN. But yeah, so Chris Carter said, listen, man, you got a posse, right? You're giving them money. They're hanging out with you. They might be picking up women for you or driving the car or who knows what they're doing. Well, somebody in the posse, their job's going to be fall guy. Or maybe it rotates. Maybe you got a seven-man posse, right? Each day, one of them is the fall guy. Depending on you get in trouble Tuesday, yo, Joe, I'm sorry, Tuesday's your day. You're going to have to take the hit for me hitting this woman. You go, oh, man, Friday, Billy, I know I was drunk driving, but listen, when the police show up, you were behind the wheel. It's Friday, Billy. You know you're the Friday fall guy, and so on and so forth. It's horrible. It's dumb. He's going to be in trouble with the NFL for saying it, but he's kind of got a point because this is what's going on. These players are young. They're dumb. They get in trouble. You know who backed him up on this? Warren Sapp. Yeah, Warren Sapp, another Hall of Famer. You think Warren Sapp is wishing he had a fall guy when he had those two prostitutes in his room the day after the Super Bowl, when he got caught trying to negotiate their money down and abusing them somehow and lost his job with inside the NFL? Of course Warren Sapp wishes he had a fall guy there. Could have had a guy in the living room say, yo, man, this thing went bad. You taking the hit. Some people say I shouldn't joke about it, but I have to. And part of my job, and also just the ridiculous level we've reached. So that's it. That's all I got this week. Who's paying attention? Well, I'm paying attention to Chris Carter and Warren Sapp. Damn it, I'm a find a fall guy. You know, I might have said something improper on this podcast. I need a fall guy for comedy. In case I make a joke that bombs, in case I say something that offends people, in case I say something not politically correct, I need a fall guy. Oh, yeah, I don't make enough to have a posse. It's just me. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This Friday, October 29th, October 28th, I will be in San Diego at Harrah's Casino. Next weekend, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I will be at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle. I love that club. It's a great place, and it's attached to a really cool pool hall. So maybe I'll see you there. Okay, this weekend it's Harrah's in San Diego. Next weekend it's Parlor Live. And the week after that, I'll be back at the Bob, the big old building in downtown Grand Rapids at Dr. Grimm's. It's Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention and knowing you are. And I'm saying thanks.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.